The recent fire in Lake County demonstrated just how quickly disaster can ignite on our dry California landscape.
Tens of thousands of acres overtaken by flames in less than 24 hours. The Rocky Fire in Lake County, now at 47,000 acres, is now almost half the size of Clear Lake itself.
Here in the densely populated Bay Area, we're no less vulnerable. The 1991 fire in the Oakland Hills took out more buildings than any fire in state history. Since then, local agencies have been trying to compromise on a fire mitigation strategy to keep the costly disaster from recurring. Decades later, we're close to finalizing that plan. Among other things, it involves cutting down 5,000 to 10,000 highly flammable eucalyptus trees. But many people want the trees to stay, and there have been several lawsuits and protests to keep them in place. KALW's Liza Veal went to sort out the controversy.
For years, I've been running up the Wildcat Canyon Trail in Berkeley. My dad takes the dog up there every single morning. On the hill, the eucalyptus trees loom and they creak. You're subsumed by the smell of camphor and the fog. Up close, the bark is opalescent pink and blue. These forests cluster all over the Berkeley and Oakland Hills now, but there's a plan to thin them down. My dad's stance on the debate pretty much begins and ends with,
"You don't cut down trees, period."
Right, come on. I tend to agree, but I wasn't there for the fire in 1991, the one that started in the Oakland Hills just south of where I run.
We walked in that place for a week after the 91 fire. It was just incredibly sad.
And I'm not a scientist, so I talked to one.
How many places were burned up and essentially destroyed, all happened in one day?
Scott Stevens is a professor of fire science in the Department of Environmental Science, Policy, and Management at UC Berkeley. He says, on an average day, most days of the year, eucalyptus is not a problem. But when the right conditions come together at the same time...
You get an east wind at 90 degrees coming down with humidities below 20, then you got a problem.
And the trees up high in the hills, they make the fire spread faster and farther.
The ones on the ridges are tough because those are the ones when they burn, they can throw embers a mile downwind.
Yeah, so let's back up. Before the eucalyptus starts throwing embers to the wind, the fire begins on the ground, the understory. Eucalyptus shed big strips of bark. You know, they have that shaggy look. So the ground beneath them is littered with scraps, fluffy piles of kindling. And the flames down there get so big, they lick at the top of the canopy, up where the leaves are. And because there's so much oil on those leaves, the trees torch, they ignite.
You could easily have flames maybe 60, 70, 80 feet, 100 feet long.
The Australians call them gasoline trees. And the burning scraps are the perfect shape for flying, like wings. So when the wind comes, they take off with enough oil to keep them burning until they land downhill.
Those burning embers will get down there and actually start what we call spot fires, new fires. It's like this. It's basically jumping across the landscape. So it's not moving as a wave, it's moving by jumping. That's exactly what happened in the 91 fire.
Not everyone agrees with that story. At a protest in Berkeley, people have a lot of reasons for wanting to save the eucalyptus. Some hold up signs that are anti-Monsanto and Dow, the two big agricultural businesses that sell herbicide, the same kind that would be hand-painted on eucalyptus stumps to prevent regrowth. Activists point out that the U.S. government buys $1 billion worth of herbicide from Monsanto every year. But not all the protesters here think that big agriculture money is behind the plan to chop the trees.
Honestly, I'm not so cynical to think that that's really what's driving it. I really think it's ideology that's driving the plan to cut so many trees down.
Jack Gashite is organizing to save the trees. The ideology he's talking about is the one that values native species over newer species. He says those values are not always rational.
This romantic notion we should go back to just oaks and bays on the hillsides with a few grasses, it doesn't make any fire sense. It doesn't make any ecological sense. It's exactly the opposite of what we want. We should have more trees.
This native versus non-native species argument goes way back. You see, a lot of people think the eucalyptus were never supposed to be here. Before the 1900s, there weren't many trees on these hills, just some oak and bay. Then a group of Berkeley professors started importing all kinds of non-native trees. They liked the idea of an urban forest, and real estate people found that planting them in the neighborhoods lured more homeowners. The eucalyptus has its own story. The ones in the East Bay Hills were brought from Australia for a lumber business, but turned out eucalyptus makes crappy wood, so the trees were never harvested, they just spread. They edged out the other species competing for the land, which is what people mean when they call them invasive. But on both sides of this debate, one thing both activist Gesheit and Professor Stevens agree upon is that there is no one right, pure environment for these hills. Again, Scott Stevens.
We've changed ecosystems so much in this country.
He took it back even further in time. Says there were hundreds of years when the Native Americans were burning all the plants that grew on the hills in order to make room for a certain grass that flourished from the ashes. The seeds in that grass were a staple crop of theirs. But that grassland is gone. The grasses we have now,
that are right here in the East Bay, are at least 80% invasive species that came over from the Spanish when they came here into California 300 years ago.
So we can't realistically return the land to the way it was before. All we can do is figure out what's most beneficial for the land that we can control.
You don't want to go after every endangered species just because it's an endangered species, or you don't want to go after every species that basically takes over a site and thinking that it's always evil. The new species could provide ecosystem services. So I think you look at it one thing at a time.
These days, when I run in the hills, I'm more captivated by the eucalyptus. In the morning, the rest of the hill begins to scorch from the sun, but I look at them and they're glistening with wetness. It's because the eucalyptus collect moisture from the fog. I head underneath the canopy. It sounds like it's lightly raining. But it's not enough moisture to make the area fireproof. Many of these plants are fire dependent, but we've been preventing fires here for 150 years. The fuel is just building up. So now, when I look around, I see a hillside that's been waiting for over a century to do what it wants to do every several months: burn. For Cross Currents, I'm Liza Veale.